each one that has come out today to worship God. We're glad that you're here and hope that you have been built up and encouraged by the service thus far. And of course, our main aim is always to glorify God and His Son and in His Word. Today's lesson is a very simple one, and I hope that if you received a Sunday talk as you came in today, that you'll open that to page 3 and not be overwhelmed by all of the blanks that are to be filled in, but rather to be challenged in the sense that there is so much good things, so many profitable things to talk about when you talk about the Christian walk. In various places within the New Testament, as we're going to take a look at here this morning, the Christian life is made analogous to a walk. And I'm glad it's a walk and not a sprint. I'm glad it's a walk and not a run. I'm glad it's a walk and not a crawl. Now, all those other things take a lot more energy than do just simply walking. And yet it is that pace that we can find most comfortable is the very pace we're supposed to find comfortable when we walk with the Lord and not with the things of the world. So I hope as we go through each one of these particular very simple designations, but yet very powerful designations, you'll find some tools, you'll find some equipment, you'll find a little insight as to how to improve your walk with the Lord. And so while I won't be spending a lot of time on each particular point, because I have several listed there, I hope that you'll write them down and think about them and make the application as necessary then within your life. All right, so when we talk then about the worthy walk, the first thing we want to mention that we need to do is to walk in newness of life. Sometimes we forget where we are. We forget what we have in Christ. We let all of the cares and concerns of this world and things that happen that we don't agree with or we wish it didn't happen or problems and struggles that we go through. And we forget the fact that when we're in Christ, we have a new life. In Romans chapter 6 there in verse 4, it says, "We have been buried with Him through baptism into death. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life." Baptism is that great sharing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. As Jesus was crucified and buried and rose again on the third day, when we are baptized, we are to die to self, be buried in the waters of baptism, but to rise to walk in newness of life. And truly, those who have been properly immersed have that new life. And so the old self has been crucified. It's no longer living, should no longer be walking. But realize each day that you walk with the Lord, it is to be a walk in newness of life. Second thing we want to bring up is, as Paul uses this term and uses this particular phrase elsewhere in the New Testament as well, is that we're not to walk as the Gentiles. Not to walk as the Gentiles. Now, of course, today we don't divide people up as Jew, Gentile, or male or female, or slave or free. We read that out of Galatians chapter 3, of course. But Paul sometimes uses this particular term to talk about the non-Christian, talk about the one who is in the world and doesn't have any care for the things of God or the things of Christ. And what he's doing is contrasting the walk of the Christian with the walk of the non-Christian when he says, we are not to walk as the Gentiles walk. This particular reference here is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, where he says, "I say this therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Sometimes sin is very appealing and we give in to it and we think, well, maybe I found a better way than the Lord's way. But I'm here to tell you by the New Testament that whenever we think we've found a better way than the Lord's way, we're walking in the futility, not the excellence or the intelligence of our mind. We haven't figured out a better way. We will never figure out a better way to walk than the Lord's way. And here Paul says that we are not to walk as the world might want us to walk, when they think, well, we've got a better way, we've got a more fulfilling way, a more exciting way, a more satisfying way. There is no better way to walk than walking with the Lord. And truly, when we walk with the Lord and not as the Gentiles walk, we do think differently, we act differently, we talk differently. And that's exactly how we're supposed to be, because again, we're not to walk as the non-Christian walks. We're not to walk as the world walks and follow that particular pattern. The third thing that I want to bring up here is that we are to walk worthy of our calling. There are two places that Paul mentions this very thing. Here's one of them, and as we get down into the list here in just a few moments, I'm going to bring up a very similar reference, but again, I have slightly different comments to make on each one. But I believe that our walk is to be worthy of our calling, because that's what Paul says there, again appealing to Ephesians chapter 4, this time in verse 1. Where he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. We have a very high calling, brethren. A very high calling, because our supreme example in all things is Jesus. He is the one who has called us through the gospel to take himself on in baptism and to live as he would live. And so our calling, in many ways, is to be like our Lord. To be like Jesus himself. Can you think of a higher calling than that? But truly that means moral excellence. That means that we've got to put in that extra effort, and we've got to be unlike anyone around us because we're trying to be like the very Son of God. Paul wanted the Ephesian brethren, knowing all the blessings that they had in being a Christian and being in the church, to walk in a manner worthy of those blessings. I don't think any one of us would argue the fact that we are blessed in Christ and all of our needs have been met, and that in abundance. And so therefore, since we readily admit that, both physically and spiritually, that we're blessed far beyond what we deserve, let us walk in a manner worthy of those blessings, a manner worthy of that calling. Christ is our example of how to walk or how to live in all of our relationships. As I've said before and will continue to say again, if you want to be a better parent, live like Jesus. If you want to be a better worker, live like Jesus. If you want to be a better Christian, of course, live like Jesus. Whatever the situation, whatever the station of life that you find yourself in, walk in a manner worthy of your calling, and it will improve those relationships. It will improve that station. Is it easy to do? No. Sometimes it's very difficult to do, and I'm there with you in the struggle of trying to pull it off, as they say. But the command still stands, the goal is still there, and we're to try to walk worthy of our calling, worthy of the Lord. The fourth thing that I want to share with you this morning is that we are to walk as children of light, as children of light. Again, in the Ephesian letter, and this time in chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Our life, I believe, should be such a walk and such a characteristic that it brightens the life of others. Have you ever heard about people, because of their very extroverted personality and how they have that smile on their face, that they say they brighten the room when they enter it? And that truly we know folks like that. They just have that bubbly attitude, that spark in their eye, that smile, that little hitch in their step, if you will, that you want to be around them. And you say, this person is an encouragement to me. Well, that's kind of the idea here about walking as children of light, that we are to bring light into the lives of those that we come about. We show love, we show concern, we show grace, we show steadfastness in wanting to do what is right. And truly, we walk as a child of light, and we say, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the light, and I want to give light to everyone that's about me. I hope that's your attitude in life, and it's not the opposite, where somebody might say, well, they can brighten a room by leaving it. That would be walking, of course, as the children of darkness and not spreading the kind of Christian cheer and Christian lifestyle that we should. Your walk, your Christian life should be an illustration of how life is to be lived. I know that puts a real burden on us, and myself included, but I think that's kind of what goes along here, that we walk as light, and that our light is in the Lord, and that truly the way we deal with people, the way we handle trouble, the way we deal with the ups and downs of life is from a child of light. as a child of light. And so we are to walk just that way. Number five, we are to walk, as the Scripture says, honestly. We are to walk honestly. The idea of being proper. The idea of being, whatever the situation is, that you act properly in that situation. Because sometimes it's time to laugh, and sometimes it's a time to cry. Sometimes it's a time to be serious, and sometimes it's a time to kind of kick back. Sometimes it's a time to encourage, and sometimes it's a time to do something else. No matter what the time that you find yourself, what the situation you are to behave properly. And that's the way my New American Standard here translates Romans 13 and verse 13. It says, let us behave properly or honestly as in the day, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife or jealousy. All those things are of the world. All those other things are of the Gentiles and how they walk. And he says, you behave properly. You behave honestly as what you do. And truly, when others revert to their sinful ways and want to do things of the world, you're going to behave properly. You know, as the old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And I've been in situations where that's been very true, and that fellow employees or friends say, well, the boss is no longer around, or maybe even mom and dad aren't even longer around. I'm just going to live the way I want to live. That isn't the admonition for Christians. We are to behave honestly. We are to behave properly, whether the boss or parents or whomever is around. That's part of the Christian walk. If you haven't been humbled yet, then we need to talk. Because these things are very simple, but they're very powerful about how we live each day and the attitude that we have. We're to be in newness of life and not as the Gentiles, walk worthy of our calling, walk as children of light, and to walk properly or honestly. All of these things need to be part of our lives. Is there something there I've hit that you can work on? I hope so. But let's take a look at a few more. As we move over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Scripture says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And frankly, I'd rather walk by sight. I'd rather make sure that all my ducks are in a row. I like to count my money that's in the bank. I like to make sure that my house and everything is the way it ought to be, and so on and so forth. It'd be easy to put my trust in those physical, monetary, kinds of things. But that isn't how God wants me to walk. Because as much as my money might give me a little comfort in my home and my surroundings and my things and all of that, we're to walk by faith. That there's a greater security to be found in God than any of those other things. And that's what God wants to show us. He wants to show us, as much as we would like to put our trust in the things that we can touch and see and handle, There's a greater trust, there's a greater blessing, there's a greater security in walking by faith and not by sight. And truly that's the great challenge for us as Christians, is to learn to turn loose of those material things, learn to turn loose of the pride or the arrogance or the accolades that we have received, and to walk by faith rather than by sight. In that passage there, if we went down to verse 8, it would say it is better to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And truly it is that that's our great goal in life, is not to find life here, but to enjoy life here as we go and find life eternal. And to do that, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Number 7 here is that we are to walk by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit. Paul simply says in Galatians 5 and verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. To walk according to the teachings of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's some good that can be found in self-help books, and you may have read other books to help in particular areas of your life, and I'm not totally discounting those, but the greatest book of all, of course, the greatest self-help book ever written is the Bible. And truly he says, if we have determined in our mind that we're going to live by the Spirit, by the teachings given us by inspiration, then that's the way we need to walk. We need to talk about how our lives have changed, not because some doctor or some counselor or some athlete has written this or done that, but we are to talk about how our lives are different because of what God has said. What has Paul said? What has Peter said? What has James said? What has Matthew said? All these wonderful Bible writers writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to live by the Spirit and call ourselves Christians, we need to walk by that Spirit. We need to say that I gain my grace and my spiritual sustenance from the Word of God. And we allow that indwelling Spirit that we have via our baptism to encourage us and to help us each day within that wonderful walk, because we're trying to walk by the Spirit and not by the things of the world. Next, we see here out of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says we are to walk all by the same set of rules. You know, man has not been privileged by God to make up his own worship rules, his own life rules, his own terms by which he wants to serve God. Oh, we love it that way because our own selfish nature says, I'll serve God and here's the terms I'm going to serve him on. And God has never, ever worked that way. But truly, one of the things you see as being consistent from Genesis to Revelation is the fact that God is ready and willing to abundantly bless far beyond all we deserve. But it's always on His terms. He says, you do my will, I'll bless you. If you don't do my will, I'll curse you. You go back to Deuteronomy chapters 28 to 30, and you see that covenant there of blessing and cursing. And that very idea that was brought out there in Deuteronomy is carried through within the New Testament as well. And truly, we are to all walk by the same set of rules. In Philippians 3 and verse 16, the apostle says, let us keep living by the same standard by that which we have attained. It'd be nice to think you'd have one standard and I'd have a different standard and somebody else might have a third standard. But the beauty of this book, the beauty of the covenant that we live under, that it is sufficient for all things and we're all to live by the same standard. That's why when we appeal to how we live and why we do the things we do, we go right back to the book. We say, here it is. We're trying to walk according to this standard. Not to please self, not to please others, first and foremost, but to please God, living by the same rules. And isn't that what makes life a whole lot easier when we're playing by the same rules? You ever been playing Monopoly and somebody comes up with a different rule? Or played any kind of game? There's all kinds of games out there, card games and board games and all that, and you enjoy those, but sometimes you sit down to play a game with someone you haven't played before and they'll say, well, we play this way. Or this is our house rule. And you say, well, I didn't know that. And it gets confusing. And sometimes the game can get very heated and people they disagree because, why? We're not playing by the same rules. Oh, to know those rules ahead of time, and we do from the Scripture, and then to play by them is how God wants us truly to be. Now we move on here to the next one, which is to walk worthy of the Lord. And I told you I was going to get back to this particular theme, that there were a couple verses, one out of Ephesians 4 and this one here out of Colossians 1:10 that Jeff read for us just a few moments ago. And it says here in Colossians 1 that we are to walk in a worthy manner. Excuse me, let's start that again. You know, I get talking 90 miles an hour, gusts up to 150. And it's a wonder I don't mispronounce more words. So I'm just going to slow down, and we're going to read what the text says. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, that manner worthy. And the way I want to particularly look at this point is the fact, not from book knowledge, but life knowledge. You know how it is. There's some people out there that are very book smart, and they do great on tests, and they graduate summa cum laude and magna cum laude and all that cum laude family that we hear about a lot in graduations, and they're book smart. But there's some folks that we know are common sense smart. They're life smart. And then you get down to street smart, but we're not going to go there, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. Some folks just have a good level of common sense about it. They may not have all that alphabet soup behind their name and have all that education, but they know life and they know people. And they're worth listening to because they've got some great common sense wisdom in which to offer. And for whatever reason, maybe it's in the context here of Colossians 1, that's kind of what I see out of this verse. That truly when we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, yeah, we're walking book smart. We know what the book says, but we're doing more than that. We're putting it into practice, see. We got that common sense smart that says, you know what, that's what the book says, but this is what really works in life. And sometimes I find that we don't make that jump at times. There was a fellow, Joe Barnett was his name. You may remember him if you watched the old Herald of Truth program. I don't even know if Joe's still living, but he's written some great tracts. In fact, we have some of them right out here in the foyer. Wonderful preacher of the gospel. And he made a comment many years ago, and he said, in the church, there are those who are born again, and then there's the born-againers. And unfortunately, he's right. That everyone in the church has been born again, you know, John 3, 3 and 5. But sometimes in our lifestyle, we become a born-againer, and we just against everything. And we jump people, and we say terse things, and we shoot anything that moves, you know. Everywhere I've been as a preacher, I've had my enemies. People that seem like have their ministry to make sure I get criticized. I've been criticized for bulletin articles. I've been criticized for sermons. I've been criticized for classes. I've been criticized for things to do, things that don't do. I've met a lot of people born again. I've met a few born againers too. Have you met any born againers in your life? Maybe criticized you and didn't have anything good to say and just seemed like had a bent in their personality that they were just going to be nasty. Well, unfortunately, that's true, but that isn't what the book says. We are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit, it says there again, in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, yeah. We need to be putting that we have into practice, into play, bearing fruit of what we learn in the good things that come our way. Next, walk in love. Oh, yeah, walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We were traveling home last night down 57, I guess up 57, we're going north, and ran into no less than 3 skunk smells. I mean, it just seemed like we finished one, went right into another one. It's just unbelievable. I tell you what towns they were at, but then you'd think, well, those towns really stink, and I don't know if they stink or not. And I thought, what an ugly aroma that is. And then I got to thinking about this point I was going to be making in my sermon today, that here it says that we are to walk in love to be a fragrant aroma. What kind of aroma do you have? I mean, we go back to the previous point about being a born-againer. Usually born-againers don't have a real fragrant aroma. It's kind of like that old skunk, you know. But we are to be of a fragrant aroma because we walk in love. Now, again, if you haven't been challenged now by this lesson, you can't be challenged. The Christian walk is so important, so valuable that we do it right, and we have all these wonderful admonitions of the Scripture. Make sure your life and your walk that is something that draws people, yes, to you, but because to you, because they see Christ in you. That truly that your life is a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma, just like those Old Testament sacrifices and the incense that they burned under the law was a fragrant aroma unto God. Our lives today are to be just that way, something that is sweet and enticing to God and to others. Finally, then, this morning, I wrap it up with John 1 and verse 7. That is 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yeah. If there's Any place you need to be walking, it's right there. I mean, we talk about walking as children of light back there in Ephesians chapter 5, but now it talks about walking in the light as Jesus is in the light, and oh, the blessing that's there, the continual forgiveness of sins. Wow, what a deal that is. Well, let's wrap it up here by way of conclusion. Going back to the text that Jeff read for us out of Colossians 1. Because one of the interesting things that comes out in that passage, as well as Revelation chapter 3, verse 4, is this idea of walking means to be fit. I mean, how fit are you? Somebody might say, well, I'm not very fit. I'm pretty overweight. I'm out of shape. I can't walk 3 city blocks, you know. And okay, physically speaking, that may be true. But how are you spiritually speaking? Are you fit for the kingdom? Are you ready to be walking as Jesus wants us to walk? You know, some folks, unfortunately, because of various reasons or whatever, can't walk very far. They're not in good health. And that's a very sad thing. But spiritually, we're to be able to walk. And if we're not walking, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. Because as we've just seen by the abundance of these passages, we're to be busy walking. Walking spiritually with God. In Revelation 3 and verse 4, John says, actually quoting the Lord, "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." That word there, worthy, can also be translated, as I understand it, fit. Are you spiritually fit? You know, a lot of times we say, well, are you physically fit? And that's kind of hard to, you know, answer. We don't work out or exercise or whatever it might be. So let's just push that to the side. Like I said before, are you spiritually fit? Are you ready to walk? Well, that's the question today, to have that wonderful walk. Because again, in Colossians 1:10, he says that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, so that you may walk in that way, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all the steadfastness and patience. Wow, what a thought that is. Joyously giving thanks to God, to the Father, who has qualified us to walk and then share in the saints of light. How are we supposed to walk? We are to walk in newness of life. We are to walk not as the Gentiles, worthy of our calling, as children of light, honestly or properly, by faith. We are to walk in the Spirit, by the same rule, worthy of the Lord, in love and in the light. That's a great challenge, and I hope that you've written all those down and that you will think about that tomorrow, the next day, of how is your walk before God. Are you spiritually fit to be one who is called worthy in His sight? Again, I'm glad that Christianity is not a sprint. I'm glad it's not a quick race, but that it's a long race that's won by walking. I hope you're ready to walk. I hope you're ready to be fit in God's eyes to walk that Christian walk. We offer Heaven's invitation. Again, a song has been selected to encourage those who need to give their life to Christ, and we hope that there's one or more here today who need to become a child of God or need to repent as a child of God, either to begin that Christian walk or to get walking the way they should have been, to go back to that walk, and then you'll do that, and you'll come now while we stand.